like to read a few scriptures, if you turn with me, first of all, to the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 11, page 1459. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him out. Luke's Gospel in chapter 19, page 1254 and verse 10. Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And chapter 15 of the same Gospel, a few pages back, Luke 15 and verse 1. And all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. And being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbours, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner, more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. And further down, in verse 24, For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. And they began to make merry. Then in John's Gospel in chapter 4, John's 4 and verse 19, page 1271. The woman says to him, Sir, I see that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where one must worship. Jesus says to a woman, Believe me, the hour is coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For also the Father seeks such as his worshippers. God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And finally, in John's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 30 on page 1282. The man answered and said to them, Now in this is a wonderful thing, that ye do not know whence he is, but he has opened mine eyes. But we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone be God-fearing and do his will, him he hears. Since time was, it has not been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one born blind. If this man were not of God, he would be able to do nothing. They answered and said to him, Thou hast been wholly born in sins, and thou teachest us. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Having found him, he said to him, Thou dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, And who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? Jesus said to him, Thou hast both seen him, and he that speaks with thee is he. And he said, I believe, Lord, and did him homage. For it came across a comment this week. Someone said that some people spend their lifetime to disprove God's existence, while others use their time trying to find God, and they find him. Which has led me to read the first scripture in Hebrews. It says in the scriptures, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. When one of Job's friends answered him, he said to Job, Can anyone by searching find out God? And there is that sense that God is beyond each one of us. God is the one who is the creator of all things. But this scripture in Hebrews tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that draws near to God must believe that he is. There are many voices in the world today trying to disprove that there's a God, that there cannot be a God. But dear friend, you might be seeking, but I would like to flip it on his head, and I would tell you that God is seeking you. We sung in a hymn, didn't we? He is seeking you again. It's a wonderful thing to think that God is seeking souls today. However evil, however bad, however far away we are from him, God is seeking us. If it were not so, we would have no basis to stand here tonight and preach the glad tidings. I trust that there's everyone in this room has a sense that they are seeking. What a world we live in, you know, what a sad world it is. With this world full of violence and wickedness and death and destruction. This isn't the world that God created. It's a world that has become as a result of sin coming into it. The activities of Satan in the heart of man. The incoming of sin has brought all this evil and desperation on every hand. And yet God in his grace has his hands opened and outstretched to bless. He wants to bless his creature. People say, if there's a God, why hasn't he done something about it? My friend, he has done something about it. He's come in the most remarkable way. And he's come in because he wants to bless men. He wants to save them. He sees the state of soul that man is in is away from him. We've read of scriptures of that which is lost, and man is lost to God. He's gone away from God. The time that disobedience came in the Garden of Eden, when they disobeyed God and ate of the fruit of the tree which they were told not to eat of, was the moment of man's downfall. In the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. People have pointed out, well, they didn't exactly die straight away, did they? But the penalty of death has passed upon all men, and all men have sinned. We know what lies at the end of our lives, however long or short it might be. We know that we have to face the article of death. But God does not want you to face that article of death and judgment. It's pointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Oh, where will each of us stand before God when we come to that point? Of passing through the article of death and coming before the judgment seat, the judgment throne. Think of what a terrible thing it is to appear empty, with no knowledge of God, with no knowledge of the Saviour. But God has intervened. How wonderful that is. That's why Jesus said, he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That applies to every living man, woman and child alive today. That Jesus came in to seek and to save that which is lost. Remarkable, he said that, wasn't he? After the blessing of the house of Zacchaeus, that there was a man who was seeking. He wanted to see Jesus for who he was. Is there any desire in our hearts today to see Jesus for who he is? Well, the gospel is all about the revelation of God and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Christianity is often common. It's not a religion, it's a revelation. It's a revelation of the heart of God. And it's told out in its fullness in the gospel. How God has operated from his own heart to seek each one of us. To think that you, dear friend, have become the object of God's mercy and his favour. He wants to bless you. What are you searching for tonight? Are you one of those who are trying to disprove the existence of God? Or are you seeking salvation? Are you seeking for an answer to all your soul's need? You may have sat, like I have, under hundreds and hundreds of gospels. But has there been a movement in your heart towards the blessed Saviour? He is seeking you again tonight. You know, each of us have to come to conviction of what we are before a holy and righteous God. We are sinners. We deserve to die. And we will die. But if we come to Christ, if we come to the knowledge of the Saviour, we know someone who's passed through the article of death for us. The one who shed his precious blood to save us. That we might not have to face the article of death and all the judgment of it. But we might go into the presence of our blessed Saviour. I trust that everyone here tonight has a sense of where they stand before God. That you're not relying on your upbringing. You know, nobody is born a Christian. We're not born Christians. You might be born a Jew. You might be born a Muslim. But you're not born a Christian. You only become a Christian as you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who's died to save you from your sins. Each of us has a history. We have a history of sins. I have a history. Wouldn't want to share it with you. But each of us has it. And God knows all about us. And God realizes our condition as away from him and lost. So the Lord Jesus speaks in that wonderful passage of Luke 15 of going after the sheep that was lost. How precious it is, you know. Think of that critical spirit that was in that company. The tax gatherers and sinners were coming to him, but the Pharisees were criticizing that he eats and drinks with sinners. They didn't realize their own condition, did they? They didn't realize that they too were sinners. And that's the religious heart, you know. We take great pride in our religiousness. That we're not as bad as other men. Have you ever said that? I know I have. Thank God I'm not as that man. But you know, we have to realize where we are before God. We're just the same as everyone else. In the gospel, everyone is on the same platform. There's no grace with God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Someone reminded us in Romans yesterday, isn't it? There's the degenerate man in Romans 1. There's the moral man. And there's the religious man. And all are the same before God. They're all laid bare before God. We're all on the same platform. and we all need the Saviour. And so this wonderful setting where Jesus has these people around him, and he says, he speaks this parable. It's interesting, it's not three parables, it's one parable. That's to tell out the wonderful seeking heart of the Saviour, who's come to seek and to save that which is lost. So he takes up this example of the man having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 and go out into the wilderness and look for them. Think of the heart of God. You know, we would be happy with a 99% return, wouldn't we? We'd be happy with that. But God isn't happy with that. He's after the individual. He's after you. We don't come to Christ in a crowd, you know. We come individually. That's how we are saved. We can't be saved by our parents. We can't be saved, as we said earlier, by being baptized. We have to come personally to the Saviour and realize of what lengths he has gone to save us. Think of the journey of this shepherd going after that which is lost. Think of the night. Think of that night that that shepherd would have gone. He's missing one of his sheep. Where's he going to find him? Are you the missing one tonight? Or are you those that are amongst the 99 righteous? Oh, let us see where we stand before the blessed God and his wonderful Saviour. So it says he goes out into the wilderness. He goes and after it which is lost until he find it. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be found by the Saviour, my friend. I wonder whether you have a knowledge of being found by the Saviour. You say, well, I've done all I can. I've been, people speak about, I've been led a pretty good life. I've done good things. You know, that's not enough. Now, you have to realise your condition, that you are lost and undone by sin. We must come to that point. Bottom these things out in our souls. But realise the length to which God has gone to secure our hearts. Think of him, God, being rich in mercy. What he has given. He's given his Son. He's given all that he had, that you might be redeemed. As I say, it's the individual. You might say, well, men are concerned about numbers, but God is securing myriads. I have no doubt about that. But each person is an individual. And God loves you individually. And Jesus loves you individually. And he's proved his love for you by going to Calvary's cross to die for you. What horrors the blessed Lord's face. Do you think of that? His pathway here of perfection before his God and Father, he walked in perfect obedience. He never sinned. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Never sinning, never disobeying anything that God has said. Think of his life of perfection before his Father. His ear opened morning by morning to hear as the instructed one. Each day that Jesus went out, he was doing his Father's will, not his own will, not doing what he wanted to do. He listened to instructions from his Father. And think of the blessing that Jesus brought to myriads that he came into contact with. We were reading in Mark's Gospel today, in that first chapter, it says, at the end of that day, all that they brought to him, those who were possessed by demons, those who had infirmities, speaks of Jesus healing them. And that's what Jesus wants to do tonight. He wants to heal you. You might not have a physical impediment, but you certainly have a moral one. You have a moral need because you are a sinner and you need a Saviour. And there's only one person who can save you from your sins, and that's Jesus. Think of that time when he said to that man that was brought to him, he says, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And they say, who is able to forgive sins except God alone? What an insight that is to who Jesus was. God manifest in flesh, walking on this earth, making his blessed heart known to his creature, bringing in blessing, bringing in healing. And what did man do with him? They rejected him. Think of the Jews. It says he came to his own received him not. They didn't want to know. Think of the treatment he received from the Jews at that time. And think of the treatment he received from men generally. And he was led out onto that cross at Calvary, where he was made a sacrifice. So it's terrible to think of the wickedness of man's heart, that a perfect man here, they'd rather not have him here. They'd rather do without Jesus, a perfect man, rather than have him in their midst. They led him to that point, the Jews saying, crucify, crucify him. It's the Roman governor trying to release Jesus. I find no fault in him. Trying to wash his hands of it. What a dilemma. There's that poem, isn't there? The Roman governor's dilemma. He didn't know what to do with Jesus. Do you know what to do with Jesus? Are you going to take the side of the crowd and say, we're away with him? I don't want to know him. Don't want to have him to reign over me. Or are you going to try and wash your hands of it? You know, one day you're going to have to face Jesus. You can face him tonight as a Saviour. He can become your Lord. And you can love him and trust him. And he will certainly love you and look after you. Well, you'll have to wait for that moment when you will meet him as a judge at the great white throne. I can't think of a more terrifying position for anybody to be in and to face the great white throne, when everything will be naked and laid bare to the one who is the judge on that throne. I often think of that scene, speaks of the books being opened, to see if their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God is so fair, you know. People say God isn't fair. He's ultimately fair. He will search. If your name's, your name won't be there, because all those that have written the Lamb's Book of Life will be with the Christ in glory. And you'll be condemned to an eternity in hell. Hell is a reality. And you know, maybe we brush over it a bit these days. I certainly remember when I was younger it being spoken on more. But it's been pointed out that the Lord Jesus spoke of hell more than anybody else. And the terrible place it is. It's not a place where you have companionship. You take Luke 16, that man, he found himself alone in that place, didn't he? You won't have companionship, you won't have joy, you have immense regret and suffering. But you come into the presence of Jesus, what a contrast. And you tonight, dear friend, can find peace in your heart and joy as coming to Jesus, the one who came here, the lost ones to save. He came to save you, and it caused him to give up his life. I said there was a Roman governor, that dilemma, what he should do with Jesus. He gave up, he was condemned him to death. We know, of course, if it wasn't for the will of God, he allowed him to go. Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. There were other times they came to take Jesus and he disappeared out of their midst. But this is the moment when he gave himself into the hands of men and into the hands of those who were condemned to death to hang him upon that cross. Like I say, it was there my Saviour suffered and tasted death for me. Can you take those words upon your lips, that was where Jesus suffered for you? That hill outside Jerusalem, that great religious centre of the day. Think of what Jerusalem has become since and will become yet. That great battleground of that city was there the place that their Messiah, the Jews' Messiah, was crucified and slain. How thankful we are, we should be in that sense, that the Jews did reject him, because it means that we as Gentiles can come into blessing. There he was, put on that cross, 3 hours. He was humiliated by the hands of men, those soldiers and the crowds around him, spitting at him, scorning him, swearing at him, no doubt. They cursed him, it says. And yet, he bore it all in his wonderful humility. He was prepared to go through with all that. But then those next 3 hours, the moment when the great matter of sin was bottomed out, when God poured out upon his Son the great matter of the judgment of sin. 3 hours of darkness that no human eye can penetrate. But what we can be glad of and know is that the Lord finished the work. He said it is finished. A completed work to his God and Father's eternal satisfaction. So a work that was done. He died, he gave up his life. The soldiers came and pierced his side, you know, and out forth came the blood and water. It was referenced this morning in our meeting. The shedding of the precious blood of Jesus. And that was the basis for my redemption and your redemption, my friend. You can be saved from your sins because Jesus shed his precious blood. Oh, what value there is in that blood, isn't it? We were reminded recently that the precious blood of Jesus, how precious it is to the believer. I trust it's precious to each one here. And so he was buried and then he was raised after 3 days. He's been raised by the glory of the Father. We know that the Father is satisfied with all that he has done because he's raised him from amongst the dead. And Jesus is now in glory ascended on high. That's where he waits to bless the sinner. What depths, you see, he has gone to seek and to save that which is lost. And so it says in relation to this wonderful passage here, having found him, he lays it on his own shoulders rejoicing. Think of the Lord Jesus finding you tonight and rejoicing that he's found you. What it means to him, to his heart. Then it says that when he comes to the house, calls together friends and the neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. Oh, think of the joy that will fill the Father's heart tonight. Think of the joy in heaven over one repenting sinner. Great to hear, great to know, isn't it, that there's joy in heaven. Not much joy on this earth, but there is joy in heaven over those who are repenting today. Can you count yourself amongst that number? I trust that you can. And so I just read these other passages, this John 4, a wonderful passage about this woman. Think of the journey the Saviour was making here. I love it when it says he must needs pass through Samaria. You know, most Jews wouldn't pass through Samaria. It was a bit offensive to them to take a long way round, but he must needs pass through Samaria. Why was there a need for Jesus to pass through Samaria? Because he wanted to meet this woman at the well. What a meeting it was. Have you met Jesus? Have you truly come to meet with him and know him? Has there been that experience in your heart, in your life, in your soul, that you've met him? This woman wasn't looking to meet anybody. She thought when she came out to this well, nobody else would be there. But he sat there just as he was, wearied with the way he has come. I'd love the thought of that. Wearied by the way that he had come. What a journey Jesus had taken. What a journey he's taken to redeem us, to save our souls. Wearied with the way he was come, sat just as he was. And he enters into conversation with this woman. And I just thought this in relation to my thought in relation to seeking. He says, his Father seeks such as his worshippers. There is an object to God's gospel going out. It's not just to save you from your sins, wonderful as that is, and to give you a hope in heaven, but one day will be your portion. He wants you to come to blessing now. The Father seeks such as us, as his worshippers. This woman, we would have said she was no material for God. We would have written that sort of person off, but Jesus met her, and he's met you and me. Let us not put ourselves above people, above this woman. You know, she was just like us. She had a sad life. Many people have had sad lives, you know. They come and they're searching for something. They cannot find satisfaction. And they dig deeper and deeper into the broken wells of this world system. And they cannot find joy or satisfaction. And we will not find joy and satisfaction in the things of this world. It can only be found in Christ. And it's only as a result of the seeking of Jesus that this woman found satisfaction and answer to all the problems of her life. She could say, come see a man who told me all things I've ever done. Is not he the Christ? She became an evangelist because of the wonderful blessing that come into her life. You know, it's a tremendous thing, but it's an interesting thing to me that the Lord Jesus, this matter of worship comes up, and it's not the Lord Jesus that instigates, it's the woman. She says to him, ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where one must worship. And this is what happens today. People have centres on earth that they think must be the place of worship. But then the Lord Jesus introduces something far greater. The thought of those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And that's what real worshippers are. Those that have been blessed by their glad tidings. Those that have been brought into God's house. Those that have their part and place. And they've become worshippers. And that's what God wants. He wants to answer from our hearts. He's looking for an answer today. One day he's going to have a universal answer, you know, but he's having an answer till he finds an answer in our hearts to his seeking us. And so it says here, God is a spirit. They who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I think it's wonderful that this revelation was opened up to such a woman as this. I was thinking that we've sung it this morning in that hymn, thou who seekest worshippers who sing in spirit and in truth adoringly. We can have our part even now in singing the praises and worship of the blessed God. It's what God wants from you. He wants an answer from your heart and an answer from your life. I trust he will find it from each one of us. And so I finally read of the man in John 9, another wonderful passage of scripture. This man, he hadn't asked to be blessed. He'd just been sitting where he always sat. And one day Jesus came by and he opened his eyes. Isn't that wonderful? He was seeking this man. This man wasn't seeking anything. God was seeking him. And I say tonight, God is seeking you too, because he wants to bless you. And what a wonderful transformation in this man's life. He was a blind beggar. He had nothing. And then Jesus opens his eyes. And he opens his eyes more and more and more until we come to this point where he gets cast out of the synagogue. Nobody wanted to know him. His family, his religious companions, they didn't want to know about him. Cast him out of the assembly. And it says here that having cast him out, Jesus found him. That's wonderful, isn't it? You might be feeling very lonely tonight. You might think that nobody wants to know you. May you become a Christian. Many people become Christians and they find their friends don't want to know them. And they find their companions no longer have room for them in their lives. Well, this man, it didn't seem to bother him. That's what I would say. And we shouldn't really let it bother us either. But Jesus had heard that they had cast him out. Having found him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He was very honest in his answers, you know, and I think sometimes a little honesty on our part is better. I felt that in the reading this afternoon, really. Maybe we don't really know things. We should say if we don't know. He said, who is he, Lord, that I... He says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus says, I who speak to thee am he. He had a revelation of who the Son of God was. It was Jesus. Wonderful revelation to this man's heart. As I said earlier, think of Jesus here as God manifest in flesh, walking upon this earth. But he said, what does it say to the answers? And he did him homage. That is what happens with the revelation of who the Son of God is. We worship him and praise him. Well, I just trust that some thoughts that have come out in my word tonight may have encouraged us and helped us. I truly desire that if there's anyone here unsure, not sure, seeking their way, may come to the Saviour. Realise that God is seeking you and he wants to bless you and he wants an answer from your heart and from your life. May there be this working in our hearts and souls tonight for his name's sake.